One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow. Roll with the punches. Yeah, that's one thing I know.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Another great night here at Cork and Kerry. We're brought to you by Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, Guinness is Good for You, and Chicago Firefighters Local 2. And the focus of this show, as it has been for over a year now, is our Irish first responders, our cops, firefighters, and paramedics, because we feel they are the modern-day equivalent of our mythological ancient Irish warriors. We got one here tonight, the great, the one and only Bob Kellum, Bobby Tommy.
That's right.
Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks for having me.
It was my absolute pleasure. It's great to see your dad, who is an old friend of mine. Now let's go back. You grew up in Tommy Moore.
Yep. Born and raised.
You're now married with how many kids you got?
I have three.
Three kids, Bobby, Maeve, and Shay. Yep. Shay's only 3 months.
Yeah, in March 16th, we had Shay Marie.
Oh, God bless her. And you're living in Fisher now.
Yeah.
And the kids are going to Fisher.
Kids go to Fisher. Wife teaches second grade at Fisher.
Oh, you're the oldest of five.
I'm the oldest of five, yeah.
Any other cops in your family?
Yeah.
Well, wait. Did you see the thing we sent out?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Bloodline, yeah.
Let me just give you the rundown, folks. His grandfather, Lieutenant James Creighton, now deceased, was a cop. He was the head of property crimes in, what is that? Area 2,
yeah.
His grandfather, Alderman Bob Kellum Sr. of the 18th Ward, a great character in Chicago history. His uncle, Chicago Police Department Captain P.J. Pat Kellum, retired. His cousin, Brett Kellman, it's Kellum.
Yeah.
And his wife, oh, what? Illinois State Police, Krista Kellum.
Yeah, his wife, yeah, just made sergeant.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
And his step-grandmother, Chicago Police Department, police officer Dolores Ryan Creighton, God rest her soul, and his second great-grandfather, Chicago Police Department, patrolman Henry King, God rest his soul. What a legacy. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And so you were the oldest, so it was like you're going to become a cop.
Yeah, and no, I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest grandchild, and I'm the oldest of five. I have three brothers and one sister.
Wow. Okay. When did you go? You have been a cop for 22 years. What year did you go on?
September of 99.
Jeez, that seems like just yesterday, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
So you were 16 years in the 9th District as a patrolman. Now you're a tax sergeant in 22, here in the neighborhood. That's cool. You also coached at St. Rita. You went to St. Rita. You played in two national tournaments, in high school and college.
College, yeah.
Soccer.
Yep.
See, now, in my day, nobody played soccer, but now they all play soccer.
And Tommy Moore, we all played.
Did they really?
Yeah. Hotbed. Hotbed of soccer on the south side of Tommy Moore.
Well, we had...
Timmy McCarthy on last week.
Yeah,
friend of mine.
Now, this is interesting because you were head soccer coach at Rita for 10 years with Tim McCarthy, 117 wins, twice Chicago Catholic League Coach of the Year, the Lawless Award.
Yes.
That's pretty darn cool. So you've got quite a legacy. Any idea how much longer you're going to hang in there?
Oh, I'm going to have to go to the young family. I mean, I'm going to be the full.
Good for
you. At least another 8 years.
Yeah. Well, it ain't getting any easier, is it?
No, it's not. It's a tough time to be a policeman.
He looks very clean cut to be a policeman, you know. It's
Give you
another 8 years, though.
Yeah, I'll grizzle up.
Yes. 22 years, though. You went on when you were a young man.
Yeah, just about a year and a half out of college, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What's the thing that has stood out the most in your career?
It's changed a lot in the last 22 years. You know, and I was very fortunate to go to the 9th District out of the Academy, which is...
That's Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, yeah. 35th and Low, the old station house.
Right across from Mayor Daley's old house.
Down the block, Old Maz Detail, who got stuck on the house watching her all night.
Yeah.
The house is still there, but they have a new station.
Does Pat Thompson live there now?
No, I don't think he lives there now. I think one of his nephews.
Oh, okay.
Maybe his son, maybe?
Yeah.
A family member lives in the house.
Oh, okay.
There.
Yeah.
But yeah, started there, worked midnights, and then I got on the tag team with about 2.5-3 years on, and then I was on tag till I made sergeant in 2016.
Now, tag team that's the hardcore stuff, undercover.
Oh, we're the plain clothes. You get out, you know who we are.
Yeah.
It's not but we were able to get up on people. We give us a little bit more
get
time to
on
work
people.
On
yeah.
get, work investigations and really not answer too many jobs and go out and look for criminals, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and I learned from some great policemen in 9, especially on midnights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a phenomenal place to work. Good policemen. You learned a lot.
Yeah.
And people don't leave 9 because it's a good place to work.
Sure.
So that's one of the key things.
Is there a lot of crime in Bridgeport?
Well, just Bridgeport. You're back of the yards.
Oh, yeah.
You go all the way from the...
And you got Sox Park.
Oh, yeah. That's a story all on its own.
Yeah.
Chinatown. All the way to Kedzie along Archer up to Garfield. So you get a little bit of North Englewood.
Oh, wow.
You get back of the yards.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. There's plenty to do there.
Yeah.
Good place to learn. A good variety.
Yeah.
So
you did 16 years there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Can't believe that.
And now you're right in your own backyard.
I am. I was lucky enough to go to 22 after I made sergeant. And I now have a tech team there.
When did you make sergeant?
June of 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. I came right back out here.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Right on the south side of Chicago where you grew up. And you went to Rita and everything.
I did.
So are there a lot of guys that you grew up with who went into the police force?
There's a handful. You know, I growing up in Tommy Moore, just like any other parish.
Great parish.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Both my parents were there. Both sets of my grandparents helped, build the church. Were part of the building that parish. But, I live next door to, Tom O'Connor, Sergeant Tom O'Connor, and he's got two kids on the job.
Yeah.
And that's one guy, and they're down the blocks, another fireman and a policeman. You just had a good group of people. And, I had my grandfather, Jim Creighton, who was lieutenant on the job, and I was fortunate to get his star number as a patrolman, and now as a sergeant. So that's one good legacy to keep carrying on, is able to wear the same button as your ancestors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so my patrolman number was 3858, and that was my grandfather's. And then when I made sergeant, I was able to get his sergeant number, 1180. So, we're in the same numbers.
The button.
The old button.
There was a priest at Tommy. Well, first of all, Tony Brankin was a good friend.
Sure, absolutely.
But there was another priest. He died a couple of years ago, a Monsignor. Do you remember him? What the heck was his name? He used to hang out in Ken's.
Oh, was it Father McNulty?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He made Mancini. He was in the Monsignor. That was probably it was a joke.
What was his? I can't remember his first name. What a
Teddy.
Teddy McNulty.
Oh yeah, good golfer.
Oh, I used to go into Ken's and he'd be going east on Ashland when I got there, and I'd say it was right around Christmas. I go, Oh, Father Teddy, what are you doing? He goes, I'm rejoicing.
Sounds about right.
Very funny guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, great guy.
I did an article on Tommy Moore when they had their big anniversary.
Yeah.
This was like in the 2003 or 4 or something like that. And he made a big impression on me. That was when I met Father Brankin, who, when I moved to Berwyn, he was my pastor.
Oh, good.
Great guy.
Phenomenal.
I miss him. All right, so you have the three little kids, and I'm sure your wife worries about you on the job and everything. And
yeah, I hope not.
Well, that's part of the.
It is part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot to it.
Any big cases you've been working on
out here?
That you can talk about?
Out here is pretty good. There was always something. Neighborhood stuff is interesting, but 9 is.
You probably know just about everybody out here.
Well, I know the people who you need to know. So it's a great place to work. It's good to be close to home and protecting where you live.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah.
But 9 was just a great place, good place to work. One of my first summers on, I was taken off midnights and put on summer relief, because they need to get too many guys on days got all the summer furloughs, so they had to bring the young guys in to cover on days. So one 4th of July weekend, you'll enjoy this story. I'm on my way in at the end of the day. It's 4th of July, 37th in Winchester. They got a call, the house alarm. I'll take the call. I'm on my
like
way into the
station.
Like
a burglar
alarm? Yeah, but someone's house alarm's going off.
Yeah.
So I come walking up, and the house is kind of offset off the lot. And a big 6-foot wooden fence in front of it. And I'm looking through, and I thought I saw a dog or a tail run through. And I'm looking, and my sergeant pulls up. And he's like, come on, we'll go check it out. I go, I think I saw a dog in there. He goes, well, we're banging on the door. No noise, nothing. Yeah. But it was a double lot. So when we got into the yard, we opened the door, still nothing. And next door, there's a party. 200 people.
Fourth of July
oh,
party.
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock. It's, you know, hats and horns over there.
Yeah.
And so we come walking in, and they're watching us. And we get to about the middle of this lot, and there's a pool, big pool. And
ground pool?
Yeah, above ground, yeah. Oh, and so we're standing there, and we're, like, looking around. I'm like, well, there's 200 people. I know it's breaking in this house.
Yeah.
And sure enough, out of the doggy door that we didn't see comes a full-grown German Shepherd.
Oh.
And we got nowhere to go. And we're running around this pool, and there's 200 people watching.
Coming snarling.
Oh, yeah, chasing us down. And we're running around the pool as this dog is chasing us with 200 people. And there was nowhere else
laughing.
To go. Into the pool.
We
had no choice. Yeah. Later, shoot the poor people's dog. But there's no shooting. You'd probably shoot yourself in the leg. So in the pool we went. And then, you know, we show up at checkoff soaking wet. Got water pouring out of your gun. Handcuffs are rusted. Yeah, that was one of my...
that's a good story.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
So. And one that they've teased you about for years, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You laugh about that one. But, yeah, it was... And I was on the tag team for so long. There's just a tight group knit of guys. So it was a ton of guys. And we just had so much fun.
Yeah.
Another good... We like to play jokes on other districts here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And I always got to keep everybody
on their toes.
So one day, it's January. It's freezing. Horrible Chicago weather. I answer the phone at tech office. It's this detective from Honolulu PD.
Honolulu? Okay.
Yeah, Honolulu. Yeah, there's a guy in your district he's wanted. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're thinking it's probably the 8th district calling. Pulling our chain. So I go, you know what, email me or send fax over the warrant. We'll take a look at it. So sure enough, get an email from Honolulu PD. This is real.
Yeah.
If we get this guy, they got to subpoena us, right? They got to bring us. They got to bring us to Honolulu.
Yeah.
They have to. So we go hunting this guy for about 3 weeks. Me and my partner, Stan Worsiak, who is a great guy. We worked together for about 9 years.
And you knew he was in your neighborhood?
Yeah, they kind of had an idea where he was at. So we kind of got down to the address.
Yeah.
So we're banging on the door. And we kind of figure out he's on the 3rd floor. So one day we're walking, we kept knocking on the door, no answer. So we walk out and we talk to this old lady, help her with the groceries. Show her the picture. I'm like, you ever see this guy?
She's like,
oh, yeah, he lives there. I go, all right, here's our number. Next time you see him, call us.
Yeah.
A week later, we get a phone call. She's like, he just walked in the apartment. Okay, here we go. Here's our trick. We're going to Hawaii, Stan. So I go up and knock on the door. Stan goes around the back of the 3 flat. It's up on the 2nd floor of the 3 flat. And I'm banging on the door. And Stan gets on the radio. Goes, he's in there. He just looked out the back window. He's stuck on his head. He saw me. I go, okay. So we get some more cars over there, banging on the door. The girlfriend eventually opens the door. And we're like, hey, listen, I know he's in here.
Yeah.
All right. We know he's wanted. Okay. She's not really cooperating.
What was he wanted for? Do you remember?
It was, I think, some type of... ID theft, maybe something. Oh. Some high. It was definitely a lot worth a couple hundred thousand dollars in theft.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it was identity theft or something along those lines. I don't recall. So we get some more cars there, and Stan comes around and goes, "He's in there." So she's taking her sweet time answering the door. I got 6 policemen in the hallway, 2 outside watching. So she opens the door, and we kind of, you know, push our way in now because we know there's a wanted offender in there, and it's a 1-bedroom apartment, and he's not in there. We can't find him anywhere. And we're like, Stan, I'm like, come on.
Stan,
Stan's like, he goes, he's in here.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I'm talking to her. I go, listen, where's he at? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen him. He's in Hawaii. I go, he's not in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there talking to him. And she's standing across the table, kitchen table from me. I look on the kitchen table. It is loaded with frozen food. I look at Stan. I look at the table. And she's standing in front of the refrigerator. I go, move.
He's in the refrigerator.
I go, move. She's like, no. I go, oh, yeah. So we pull away. She starts fighting with everybody. We open the refrigerator. There he is.
Inside?
Tucked inside. Everything on the refrigerator is on the front, melting away. So we drag him in, and so we send an email over to Hawaii. I'm like, you know, here we go, we got him. Let us know when we're coming. Right, we got to get ready.
We got
a plan. We got a plan. We got to go to Hawaii. Yeah, for a week, at least a week. Right, it's gonna be a week trial.
Yeah.
So I got an email about 3 weeks later. He took a plea deal, and we got. I'm like, oh, great. That's what I, you know what? We got a calendar from Hawaii PD. Like, thanks for the effort. I'm like, yeah, we got a Hawaii look at pictures. So. Nine was a great place to work.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
The girlfriend, did you arrest her too?
Oh, yeah, she went for fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She should have. Holy cow. Now, is it still as crazy as that? I mean, after 22 years, or as much fun as that?
The job's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It is still fun. I got a great bunch of guys that I work with every day and that are really dedicated, despite how tough it is to be the police right now.
Yeah.
Are very motivated individuals. And there's good guys.
God bless them.
Yeah. They're hard working and they really believe in their cause. So it's not the same, but you still have the same type of effort and fervor to go out and get the bad guy.
Yeah.
And they do it.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's a tough time, but as I tell them, things will get better. They always do.
I think they will.
There's nowhere else that you still call 911. Someone's got to show up.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And it's how much more of this crap can we take? You know what I mean? It's like, give me a break. Defund the police and all that. It makes no sense. I was reading the other day some idiot politician, we want to send out social workers to deal with this stuff. Like, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other great stories? Those are a couple of gems I want to let you know.
I'm trying to think of a couple extra.
Yeah. What about the kids? Do you tell them about what it's like to be? Do they know what you're doing? How old are your kids again?
7 and 8.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Months. Yeah. They're aware of it. I might stop home for dinner or lunch and. You know, they want to know how many bad guys went to jail.
Yeah,
already,
good
you know.
For them.
Yeah, they got the idea.
What's your Irish roots? Do you know where in Ireland?
Oh, I do. I'm big in the ancestry.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Well, the Kelms are from Virginia. That's probably the only non-Irish part about me.
Okay.
Actually, the Kelms are. We've been here since 1650 with the the Kelms.
Yeah.
My Bob Kelms side, the Kelms side of the family. His mom's family is from Kilmovie, Mayo, the Grannans.
And they've been over. Your dad?
This is my dad's grandmother's side.
Oh, okay.
From Kilmovie, Mayo.
Yeah. Oh, in Mayo. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a tavern in 31st and Halstead for a while.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
I have no idea. Okay. That's on my list.
31st and Halstead.
Yeah, it's now a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1730. I believe it's like 1730 West. 1731. It's on the odds of the street. 730 West, 731 West, 31st Street.
Yeah.
So that's where their tavern was. And then on my dad's mother's side is the Heffernans.
Oh, that's
From Glenmore. Oh, yeah. My grandfather, Richard Heffernan, came over about just before World War I, got drafted, was a Marine, was a devil dog in World War I.
Wow.
This is a good story, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
So he gets fighting the Battle of Blancmont Ridge, just a nasty battle towards the end of World War One. He's found mustard gas was used, and he found a pile of bodies, still breathing. So luckily he lived. So he gets he's on convalescent duty, and, you know, recovering. Goes back home to Ireland for his brother Michael, Father Michael's ordination.
Oh no, kidding. His brother was a priest. Yeah.
Well, he's got while he's over, he's got to teach the boys some military maneuvers. This is the time of the rebellion. Then he brings his youngest brother, Stephen, over. Stephen Heffernan was, a good
brings
hurler.
Brings him over
for
to the States?
Bring him over to the States. Eventually brings him over to the States. He was in a little bit of trouble with the Black and Tans back during the cause. And
the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Stephen Heffernan ends up being John Knight. That officer who was killed in the line of duty about 22 years ago, January 1999. That's his grandfather.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so there's other police routes there for you.
Yeah.
But that kind of shows how back it goes. They're from Glenmore, and then I can
go. Glenmore and County Mayo.
No, that's Kilkenny.
Oh, Kilkenny.
Yeah, down way down south. Big Hurling. Big Hurling County.
Yeah.
The who would be my grandfather's grandmother's family is from Ballinasloe, I believe.
Ballinasloe.
Yes. In Galway.
Yeah.
And her husband was Henry King, who's my second great-grandfather, who was a Chicago patrolman.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so they came over. She was Mary Jane Burns. And then on the Creighton side, I can keep going, Hooli. I got it all the way down. The Creightons are from Four Mile House in Roscommon.
Oh, sure.
And they've been over since just before the Great Chicago Fire. Still got Creightons in Four Mile House. And then
Four Mile House? Is that a,
just a town?
Little town?
Yeah, a little town in Roscommon.
Wow.
And then that's my mom's father's side. And on my mom's mother's side, they're from, the Hogans are from Gertini, Galway, a little town just over the border from Scariff, from Clara. And that's her grandfather and her grandmother is from Woodford.
How often do you get over there?
I've been over three times.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a trip in October. You should join us.
Yeah, tell my wife that.
Bring her well. Oh,
yeah,
you got three kids.
School
kids.
Year, you got the six-month-old. Might be a problem.
Yeah.
a little.
And so your wife is a full-time mom.
No, obviously. She's she teaches second grade at St. John
she
Fisher.
Oh,
oh, yeah.
Boy, that can't be easy.
She's been there for, she's a long before I even met her.
Yeah.
Megan Erner is her maiden name.
What about the soccer? Oh, you started the Chicago Police Soccer Team.
I did, yeah.
What's the name of that?
Chicago Police Soccer Team.
Okay. That's pretty cool, though. They didn't have one before.
No, and we've gone off and we've traveled around the country and internationally to Canada.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, but there's a big North American tournament every fall.
Yeah.
So we go play St. Louis, L.A., NYPD. We've hosted New York a couple times, St. Louis up here.
Oh, wow. Where do you play?
All over. I mean, we've been to Ottawa, Seattle.
No,
St.
I mean
Louis.
Here in Chicago.
Where would we play? We played at Toyota Park a couple times. So just,
okay.
Well, high schools.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
So if we get to play another department, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Huh.
That was always fun. Those are fun trips.
Are they still going?
They're still going. Oh yeah.
Are you still involved with that?
Not too much. Once I started coaching, and then I got married, it was kind of my time to step. It's a young man's game.
Yeah.
So I played my last game with them about nine years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, they're still going. Still going strong.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You were one of the founders.
Yeah, I was the founder.
Yeah.
The George Washington of the police soccer team.
Okay. Oh, what is the National and Metro Leagues? What are those?
Those are big. Those are the big ethnic clubs here in Chicago. I played a little bit with Schwaben towards the end of my career, which is a German club way up north.
Oh, wow.
And then I played Chicago Celtic right out of high school before I went off to college. I played with my first men's team.
Where'd you go to college?
University of Illinois at Springfield.
Really? They had a thing in Springfield, huh?
Yeah. Before that, I played at Moraine Valley.
Okay. So you're the class of 92, St. Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you're a young man, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
Look at it. It looks like if you pulled me over, I'd go, come on, you're not a cop, come on. And then you'd smack me, and I'd go, oh, yeah, maybe you are.
No, we don't do that
anymore. You don't do that anymore, sure, I know. Well, what's going on in Tommy Moore now? Do you ever get back to the old hood?
Just at Mass for Father's Day with my parents.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
No
kidding. Beautiful church.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, I went to Teddy McNulty's wake there.
I believe now, yeah. He was a great golfer.
What a guy. Now, you're a big golfer as well.
I golf a little bit, yep.
Where do you play?
I actually play the Southside Tour.
Oh,
have you heard of it? They got their own. They got about 200 guys in this, and they switched.
200?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice league. Moves around every 2 weeks.
So you get a different course?
Yeah. So you play with somebody. I usually play with Timmy McCarthy.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
yeah. Now, do you know Bob Houlihan?
I know Bob.
Trying to get him on the show, but he's not answering the phone.
Oh, no. Really?
There's a shout-out, Bob.
Yeah. I got some names for you.
Oh,
I got some
you?
People to shake.
Good.
Down, sure.
Good. They got to be Irish.
I got two real good ones.
Oh, good.
You need to get the commander of 22, Sean Joyce, and the tackle.
Oh, what a
Brian
perfect
Kinane.
Name.
Brian Kinane. Oh, I got write these down. Brian Kinane, he's lieutenant in 22, and then Kevin Connors, he's a sergeant with me. Those two are good. Sean Joyce, he's a busy guy, but I'll get you in contact.
Good
with those
man.
Guys.
See, because it's getting harder and harder. Well, and a lot of it is because of the politics of Lightfoot and all that other crap, and I feel bad for the officers.
You know? Like when we were trying to come to it, it's tough with the hours.
Yeah,
we're just not a lot of time to play around. You know.
We've had John Cantanzara on the show three times.
Really?
Yeah.
I listened to his last one. He's an interesting guy.
He's an interesting guy, all right. And he's taking a lot of heat, but he's taking it for you, which God bless him, he is, you know. He's fighting that fight. I saw him. He posted a thing just the other day because today was the last day for negotiations on the contract or something.
Yeah, the Patrolman. I've been in a contract and going on
That's
over
crazy.
4 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so how are we doing here? Oh, we're good. All right. Now, what do you tell your kids about? Would you encourage them to go into law enforcement?
I wouldn't. I would caution them.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you know, you got to let them chase what they need to find.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with me. I mean, it's, I was encouraged by my uncle. My uncle Pat took me out on the street a couple times when I was
in
college.
Did he really?
Yeah, I was going east on Ashland, as you would say, Hooley.
Yes.
And I was trying to figure my way out. And my uncle encouraged me. And my grandpa Jim was the policeman, was was really encouraging. He would go with it, but when I kind of mentioned to him towards the end of his life, he was kind of, it's not what it used to be. I'm like,
what is?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. So, but I know he would be proud that I joined and took his star numbers.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I was encouraged. I was encouraged by my family.
Yeah.
You know, you need that. And
sure
I know there's a lot of retired guys stepping up now and trying to give some encouragement to with Gene Roy and that.
Oh, he was on 2 weeks ago.
He was my commander in 9th for a while.
Was he really?
Great guy, yeah.
He was dynamite.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah.
But
he's doing a good thing now with that Bank the Blue thing.
Right. That's what I meant.
Helping out with the police and because
showing support. That's
good. Because of the no days off and all that stuff, and helping with babysitting, food, all that stuff. God bless him. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because this is it. You're 22 years, and you're going to do another 8 years, huh?
Well, yeah.
We got a guy who comes on the show sometimes. He did 39 years. Alamo Lynch.
I've heard him.
You have?
Oh, I've listened to him. Okay. Big John Wayne guy.
Yes, exactly. Quite the character. But, you know, it was a tough – it's a tough job now, but it was a tough job then too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he's – very amusing guy. Well, how did you meet your wife, Megan?
Interesting story. I was introduced by another police officer who's from Tommy Moore,
who's
a girlfriend. After that, we played NYPD at St. Xavier on St. Patrick's Day.
Soccer.
Yeah. And women played early. We played after them, and then there was a big party at Bourbon
Street. They have a women's police
They do now. We did for a little bit, and then they kind of faded. Now they're back. I know they have a women's team. And, we played them. They were coming in for the parade weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So we played them on Friday night and didn't turn out on our side, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But we had a good party afterwards. I was introduced to her that night.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And where's she from originally?
She's from Bernadette.
Oh, yeah. In Evergreen Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it doesn't fall or fall. You know,
no.
It's got to be.
Did you go to Macaulay or whatever? Yeah.
Macaulay, St. Xavier.
Okay. Good for her. Yeah. Hey, there's no place like home.
Nope.
Right? Yeah. All right. Well, I want to tell you, we have so much admiration and respect for our law enforcement officers, and we want to encourage you guys. What you said. You know, there's got to be somebody who's going to take care of get these bad guys, you know, doing the right thing. In spite of all the crap they have to put up with, God bless you, you know, because if there weren't, we'd all be screwed, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that you recognize that in the other guys as well, it's important, I think. Very important. We don't, you know, if it wasn't, we'd be deep doo-doo. So, Bob Kellum. Geez, sure, you're a young man. I'm just keep looking at your DT. See, I'm an old fart. That's why I can say that.
Yeah. No, I would encourage kids. If people have an interest in law enforcement as young kids, encourage it because it's going to be needed. It's not like a job that's going to go away. It's going to be a career that's going to keep – it's going to be needed. It's like garbage men. Someone's got to be there to do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to get done on by itself.
Good analogy. what about – were you – was your your grandfather, the alderman?
Yeah.
Was he the alderman when you, how old were you when he was the alderman?
Oh, geez. I was about two or three when he was first elected, and then I think he left office in 94, 96. I could be right. Yeah, it was same name. That's a good story. You want a good story.
Bob Kellum.
So, two of my buddies, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm still best friends with these guys today, John Godfrey and Chuck Volpentesta. We might have got our hands on a couple libations as a young gentleman.
Yeah.
And I believe they were warm, hot, warm Luan Bros, if I can recall correctly. And so we were up on a certain area we would hide on the railroad tracks by 81st and Artesian area.
That was your spot.
That was the spot.
Yeah.
So we come off the tracks, and sure enough, there's the 8th District. Oh. On us, up against the garage, like, ugh.
And you guys were teenagers, right?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't, maybe had a beer or something, nothing crazy. Yeah. So, all right, what's your name? John Godfrey. Your dad still Mass Transit? Yeah, get out of here. What's your name? Chuck Wilbur. Your dad working one? Yeah, he goes, I know you, Dad. Get out of here. What's your name? Bob Kellum.
Really?
All right, smart guy. And they're like, no, his name's Bob Kellum.
Oh, they thought you were.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was telling him Richard Daley.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, all right, smarty. Away you go. No, they're like, no.
It's
like,
really
all right, don't go up there again. We're like, yes, sir.
That's a good story, yeah. Yeah. Bob Kellum.
Yeah.
Well, you're carrying on the tradition of that name. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He was a good man.
Yeah. And so are you,
thank
Bob
you.
Kellum. Thank you for all you do. Give me those names later. Come back a couple of months and come back with some more stories from me.
I'll come back anytime. Thank you.
Thanks
for recognizing us.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take
a little. Congratulations on being Man of the Year, by the
way. Oh, well, thank you for mentioning that. I just happened to have the thing here.
Fire.
Oh.
Yeah. A table. You're going to take a table.
Yeah.
Right?
Table. Yeah. Actually, it's Saturday, September 11th. I'm the 2020 and 2021 Emerald Society Irishman of the Year. Very proud of it. I'm starting working on my speech now, although I was talking to Tim Burns today, and he said, don't take too long speaking because they're not going to open the bar till after you're done. I thought, oh, well, I don't want those guys.
Yeah, you're in fine company with that crew. That's yes, for sure. Yeah, I've been to a couple.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget they have their Rib Fest coming up on the 19th of July, but we'll get to that later. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio and be right back after these messages from our friends.
Chicago firefighters first formed an independent firemen's association in 1901. Firefighter delegates met in 1918 at the American Federation of Labor Convention to form the International Association of Firefighters. Chicago, having been the second organization to join the American Federation of Labor, they were designated as IAFF Local 2. Over the next 100 years or so, Local 2 has been tempered through turbulent times and survived to prosper. In 1980, a contentious strike almost split the union, but the Brotherhood of the Barrel prevailed. Today, it's a stronger union because of that, as Local 2 is forever negotiating benefits for their members. Ask any of the members and they will tell you, as the faces of our ranks change over time, the men and women of Local 2 will always stand steadfast in our resolve to aid and assist those who find themselves in dire situations. Our brotherhood is our bond, and we celebrate our differences as a way to better serve the citizens of Chicago and keep each other safe. For more info, go to IAFF2.org.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halston in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Hey, thanks to Bob Kellum. He was terrific. Bobby, Tommy Moore. And, you know, you love it when a guest comes on and brings it, you know. So thank you, Bob Kellum, and send me some more guys. We had a funny incident where two of our young musicians from the Kelly Roach, is it Kelly Roach? Murphy Roach School of Irish Music. It's my friend Kel Cole runs it, and she teaches young kids how to compete and play all the Irish instruments. And they're just terrific, talented young ladies and men. And so we're going to have two of them on next week, but one of them showed up tonight. but that's okay. I said, come on, we'll put you on. But she said she wanted to wait till next week. She's probably embarrassed.
And I won't even tell you her name. But she'll be back next week. We'll have two of those kids from the Murphy Roach School of Irish Music. So I want to remind everybody, lots of stuff. But one thing we're working on and have been for a long, long time is our film In Search of Weeping Jim. And it's about the, you know, you can claim, we're going to claim the Chicago flag for the Irish America. And the basic story is that Jim Kearns was the alderman, the old 31st Ward on the south side of Chicago. And he came here from Ireland at the age of 13 in 1884. And he went on to become an alderman. And in 1915, he introduced the legislation that Chicago should have its own flag. And so they did. He was born 150 years ago in 1871, during the same year as the Chicago fire. And we're going to be celebrating that film later this fall. We're going to premiere it here in Chicago. We're also taking it to Ireland. And we're going to bring it back to the Westport Town Hall Theater in County Mayo, where much of the film was shot, because he was born on a little island called Inishcuttle off the coast of Clew Bay. And so you'll be hearing a lot more about that In Search of Weeping Jim. But if you want more information, just go to Indiegogo and Google In Search of Weeping Jim. And if you want to throw us a couple of bucks, your name goes in the credits for this great film. And it is. It's a lot of fun, and we've been working on it a long time. So I hope to share that with all of you. Now, also want to plug our old friends, the Emerald Society of Illinois, which is the Irish American Police Association. It's a 501c3. They're having their Rib Fest Monday, July 19th, 7 o'clock, over at FOP Lodge 7, 1412 West Washington Boulevard. Come on down for some great ribs and a lot of camaraderie with our friends with the Emerald Society of Illinois, the Irish American Police Association. That's Monday, July 19th. Go to Emerald Society. Do I have a website for them? Just Google Emerald Society of Illinois. Or go on Facebook. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been there before. The ribs are dynamite. And the people are even better. So we got that coming up that we want to plug. Also, funnily enough, on September 11th, the Emerald Society is honoring yours truly as the 2020-2021 Emerald Society Irishman of the Year. I'm very proud, humbled, and honored of that. And hope to see all of you there. We're going to have a party that night. And I promise not to give a long speech, because they're not opening the bar until I'm done talking. So that's at Gaelic Park, Saturday, September 11th. You'll be hearing a lot more about that as we get closer to it. If you're interested in getting tickets, call my friend Tim Burns. He's one of the guys who sends us all the jokes. Tim Burns is at 773-551-5671. Leave him a message and your number, and he'll get back to you and sell you these tickets. Tim Burns, 773-551-5671. The Emerald Society of Illinois, their annual Gaelic Park dinner, the Grand Gala. It's going to be fun. Man of the Year and all that stuff. And what else do we have to plug here? The trip. We're going to Ireland October 20th to the 27th. Return to Ireland with Hooley and friends, a seven-day tour of Ireland. We're going to Galway for 3 nights. We're going to be in Galway for Machness, which is a really wild, crazy street festival. It's a preview of their Halloween festival. And we're going to be 3 nights in Galway. We'll be there on the 24th when they're doing it. We're also going to premiere the film in Mayo at the Westport Town Hall Theater Monday night, the 25th. Then we go back to Dublin for a night before we go back. We're going to be staying at the Fitzpatrick Castle, our old pal Etna Fitzpatrick. We're going to be at the Hardiman Hotel in Galway, right on Ayr Square. It's gorgeous. Galway's a great town. Lots of partying. We'll have a lot of characters with us. We got an ad coming out in the Irish American News with all the details. But if you want more details, call our friend Deirdre Kylie, at 1-800-664-7474. Deirdre, 1-800-664-7474. Check out the ad in the Irish American News. There's all the information. You can email Deirdre there to deirdre.kylie@specialireland.com. All this stuff is happening. Oh, now I got it. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or any of those great Irish saloons, and see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Wooly, who died?" Geary Michael Kelleher, United States Marine Corps veteran, longtime resident of the South Suburbs, preceded in death by his mother, Marion Geary Kelleher, survived by his father, Robert Kelleher, and siblings Joe, Mary, Dan, Ann, Eileen, Kitty, and Julia. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the American Legion or Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. God rest his lovely soul, Geary Michael Kelleher. Also, Pamela O'Finn. Pamela P. O'Finn, age 77. God rest her soul, beloved wife of 55 years to the late Kevin P. O'Finn. Devoted mother of Kathleen O'Finn, Kelly O'Finn, and the late Kevin O'Finn. And his wake and the funeral details were handled by Sheehy, where other eight people go. God rest her soul, Pamela O'Finn. Also, Patrick Clancy. Pat Clancy, age 78, United States Army veteran, husband of 50 years to Donna Clancy. Devoted father of Colleen, Lisa, the late Sean T. Clancy, and Siobhan Clancy. He's the former owner of Clancy's on State Street, Clancy's Public House. And he worked at the Cook County Clerk's Office for many years. God rest his lovely soul, Patrick J. Cleary. And finally, Mary A. Mickey O'Keefe, 78. Her maiden name was Jocelyn. Beloved wife of the late Dennis E. O'Keefe, devoted mother of Kathleen. She's going to be laid to rest at Holy Sepulchre, where my family is. And the wake and funeral arrangements were handled by Sheehy's, where other eight people go. Okay, we can close up the crypt now, Billy. And we will come back with some frivolity, I think, in Hooleytown. So stick around on Hibernian Radio.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
This is a song about your wavelength and my wavelength, baby. You turn me on when you get me on your wavelength now, yeah, 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 yeah. With your wavelength. With your wavelength, with your wavelength. Oh mama, oh mama, oh mama, oh mama, oh mama, oh mama, oh mama.
Third Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
My, yes. Mind, mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome,
crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hoolitown.
Hoolitown.
Welcome to Hoolitown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolitown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Welcome to Hoolitown. That was my old friend, the great, the one and only Craig Holloman, who's also in our movie, In Search of Weeping Jim. Is the voice of God. It's so great to be with you all. Now, do we have Van will be playing later, Van the Man, with some wavelength. But my old friend in Headford, County Galway, Mike Monahan, is married to a lovely gal named Cindy. Cindy Monahan. And Cindy's from New Jersey originally, but she's been in Ireland now for like 40 years. So we see her all the time when we're out there. And Cindy had a funny little joke the other day that I thought I would tell. One day, Harry the Eagle waited at the nest for Mary, his darling of 10 glorious years. After a while, when she didn't return, he went looking and found her. She had been shot dead. Harry was devastated, but after about 6 minutes of mourning, decided he must get himself another mate. Since there weren't any lady eagles available, he'd have to cross the feather barrier. So he flew off to find a new mate. He found a lovely dove. He brought her back to the nest. The sex was good, but all the dove would say is, "I'm a dove. I want to love. I'm a dove. I want to love." Well, this got so on Harry's nerves, so he kicked the dove out of the nest and flew off once more to find a mate. He soon found very sexy Loon and brought her back to the nest. Again, the sex was good, but all the Loon would say is, "I'm a Loon. I want a spoon. I'm a Loon. I want a spoon." So off with the Loon. Once more, he flew off to find a mate. This time, he found a gorgeous duck. He brought the duck back to the nest. This time, the sex was great, but all that duck would say was, "No. The duck didn't say that. Don't be so disgusting." The duck said, "I'm a drake. You made a mistake." Okay. Thank you, Cindy Monahan, for that funny joke. Okay. Okay. William and Mildred decided to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary with a trip to Las Vegas. William went to the front desk to check in while Mildred stayed with the car. As he was leaving the lobby, a young woman dressed in a very short skirt introduced herself as Candy. William brushed her off. When William and Mildred got to their room, he told her that he'd been approached by a prostitute. "I don't believe you," laughed Mildred. "I'll prove it." He called down to the desk and asked for Candy to come to room 1217. "Now, you hide in the bathroom with the door open just enough to hear us." Soon there was a knock on the door. Candy walked in, swirling her hips provocatively. "So I see you're interested after all," she said. William asked, "How much do you charge?" "125 basic rent, $100 tips for special services." William was taken aback. $100 and a quarter? I was thinking more in the range of $25. Candy laughed. "You really are an old timer. Do you think you can buy sex for that price?" "Well," said William, "I guess we can't do business. Goodbye." After she left, Mildred came out of the bathroom. "I just can't believe it." William said, "Let's go have a drink and forget it." Back downstairs at the bar, the old couples sipped their cocktails. Candy came up behind William, pointed at Mildred, and said, "See what you get for $25. Okay. One more? No. We don't have time. Okay. So great to be with you. All right, we got the kids from Murphy Roach Music School next weekend. Keep coming back. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. Thanks so much for listening. And God bless you all. We will see you later. Bye. Oh, Lord, I wonder, will I look down? Shoes, and I started walking.